morning. It's nice to be with you and to join in with your time of worship this morning. So we're going to look into Romans chapter 3, the chapter that Martin read to us, and the key word, verse, your gospel text is 3:23. The problem with the Bible verse division is that the complete sentence is split in over three verses, verse 22, 23, and 24. So to get the full gospel truth, you actually have to read the whole sentence, which, of course, Martin did do, because it would be awful just to read verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, if we didn't have some hope. But if you read the full sentence, it actually says, there is no difference, comma, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, comma, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. So the full sentence is actually the whole gospel truth that we are looking at this morning. Now, you've heard the phrase, and we heard it again on Budget Day, we're all in this together. Well, the truth is, this morning, we are all in this together. There is no difference between any of us. We're all the same. So we're just quickly going to look at four things from this verse that combines this text. The first thing is, we're all the same. There is no difference. Verse 22, it says at the beginning of the sentence, there is no difference. In God's sight, we're all the same, whether we're Jews or Gentiles, whether we're rich or poor, male or female, old or young, we're no different. Now, some people like to think they're a bit superior. Some people like to think, oh yeah, but I'm not as bad as they are, or I'm much better than they are, and so how can you possibly say that we're all the same? Only because the Bible says we're all the same. If it wasn't for what the Bible said, maybe we would have an argument. But the thing is, we are all in this together. We're all the same. There was a person in the Bible in Luke 18, and he thought he was superior. He didn't actually think that he was as bad as other people. And so Jesus tells this parable in Luke 18. He actually tells it to people who around him thought that they could be a little bit superior. And so what Jesus says is this in Luke 18 in verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and he prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector, he stood at a distance and he would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Two different people there, but both of them were the same in God's sight. One thought he was superior and he said, I thank you, God, that I'm not like other people. And the other one said, Lord, I am a sinner. But both were the same. They were in this together and they were all the same, both the same. And so that's what our verse begins. It says that there is no difference. Then it goes on to say that we have all sinned. We have all sinned. The Pharisee in this story that we just read, he thought he was okay because he fasted and he tithed. So he would not eat sometimes and he would give a tenth of his money away, so he was all right. And so he thought because of his lifestyle, he was okay. Now, of course, a lot of people, in fact, I'll rephrase that, most people, I think because of their lifestyle, they'll be okay one day. And that God will look at them and say, well, you've done the best, that'll be okay. Which, of course, is far from the truth because we have all sinned. The problem is we like to categorize sin, don't we? I was actually talking to my older brother this morning. He's down in Devon and he was on the phone because I'm down there next week with them. And he was telling me how that he was speaking to someone last night who was exactly saying this, how that he categorised what he had done and what other people had done, and how he wouldn't become a Christian because he'd hate the thought that someone who was a murderer or really bad would go to heaven, because he didn't think he was that bad. And we categorise sin. You see, we say, well, telling a white lie, which there is no such thing, or just cheating slightly, or that little petty theft, taking a pencil when you shouldn't. Well, everybody does those. They're small sins, and so they don't matter. But then we all go on to say, but those who are murderers, bank robbers, rapists, well, then they're big sins, and so they deserve punishment. But you see, in God's sight, we are all as bad as each other. There is no difference, for all have sinned. In Romans 3 and verse 10, where we read, there is no one righteous, not one. Did you notice when we read about the Pharisee, even he began to categorize sin? He said, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers. What about the sin of pride then? He was very proud, wasn't he? And if you read Proverbs 3 and verse 5, it says, the Lord detests all the proud of heart. They will not go unpunished. He was pretty proud about himself, wasn't he? How that he fasted and gave, and he thanked God that he wasn't like other people. Do you know, deep down we all know that we have sinned. We're all in this together. There is no difference, for we all have sinned. So does it matter that we've all sinned then? If we've all sinned, well then what's the consequences? Well, it says next, we've all fallen short. Notice the word all keeps coming up. There is no difference, for all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. What does that mean then? What's the glory of God? Well, we fall short of what God intended man to be. The glory and the perfection that God had when he first created man, before the fall. It's sad that people don't any longer seem to want to believe the creation story, and yet it is absolutely true. And God made man, and in Genesis 1 it says, in verse 26 and 27, he made man in his image, in his likeness. What is God like? God is perfect, God is holy, God is sinless. But Adam and Eve broke God's command of not eating from the tree that was forbidden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And sin entered the human race. And God said to Adam and to Eve, what have you done? And ever since that, we are born sinners with that sinful nature. And all of us fall short of God's standard. His standard was perfection. And we fall short of it. We also fall short of seeing the glory of God in heaven. You see, we all, I'm sure, trust that we'll enter heaven. But it's no good just trusting and hoping in a vain hope that you'll enter heaven. We can have a certainty of knowing that we'll enter heaven. That's by asking the Lord to come into our life and to take the sin away, as we'll continue to see. But we fall short of seeing God's glory in heaven. Jesus came to this earth, and while he was here, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I notice it's up here. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Ephesians 2 and verse 9, not by works, lest anyone should boast. What was this Pharisee doing? As he was there, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like that other man. I don't do the things that other people do. I live a good life. Do you? Not by works. There was a story of a man who was having a dream. I don't know if it was a true story, but I'll relay it to you. He was having a dream, and in this dream, every time he did something good, he was climbing a ladder. And so every time he went and helped an old lady across the road, he went up a few rungs on the ladder. And then when he gave some money to a charity or to a church, he was climbing up the ladder. When he went to church, he was going up the ladder nicely, and if he prayed, he would go up the ladder. And he was living a very good life, and he was helping people and living the best he could. And in his dream, he kept going up and up the ladder, and he was having a wonderful time. He thought he was doing great. Until he keeps going up and up, and suddenly He reached the top of the ladder, and you can guess what happened. He fell right off the top, and in his dream, he came tumbling down. And that's when he woke up in a start. He woke up suddenly, and he began to think about the dream that he had just had. See, people think they can climb the ladder, but the problem is, no matter how good they are and what works they do, between the ladder and heaven, there's a massive gulf. Can't get there. You cannot do it. He fell short of the glory of God. Jesus said that there'll be a lot of people when they get to the end of life that will actually boast about what they've done. It says in Matthew 7 in verse 21 that people will come to Jesus and they will say, Lord, we did this in your name, we did that in your name. And this is what he says as he was here on earth. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons in your name? Did we not perform miracles in your name? And I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. Not by works. And so we fall short. Well, surely there's hope then. Well, there is, of course, because this wonderful sentence that we have in Romans 3 has a wonderful end. So you go back to Romans in chapter 3, you'll see that we can be saved because we all need to be saved. What does it say there? Let's read it through. There is no difference. For all have sinned. Yes, we have. We all fall short of the glory of God. And then it goes on, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. You may say, that's a heavy sentence, or the heavy end of the sentence. What does it really need? What does it really mean, rather? Well, we need to be saved. The consequence of sin, which we have established that we've all committed, however big or small in our sight, it's the same in God's sight, the consequence of sin is hell, death and hell. So Jesus knew that, and that's why he came to this earth. If you ask people why Jesus came to earth, some will say, well, he came to do miracles. He came to give us an example. He did. But the reason, the chief reason why Jesus came to this earth was to go to a cross and to die for you and for me. And when Jesus died on the cross, he took upon himself all our sin and all our shame and everything that we have committed, and he paid the price for it so that we wouldn't have to pay the price for our sin, the consequences for it. And he was punished severely for our sin that he never committed. Why would he do a thing like that? Well, because he loves us so much. And even the sin that we have committed this week, he knew about it, and on the cross he paid the price for it. But we have to thank him, and we have to ask him to take our sin away and thank him for paying the consequence of sin. We use big words, and in this reading there are some big words. One of the words there in verse 25, God presented him as a sacrifice on the cross, as an atonement. You think, well, here goes the big words. What's atonement mean then? Well, split it up and it'll make more sense. At one moment. You see, we said that when they were in the Garden of Eden, they sinned and they had this separation between God. They fell. And they couldn't walk with God in the communion that they had, one with another in the garden. Atonement, at one moment. Jesus died on the cross so that we could be at one with God again. That we could know his love and his help. That sin barrier being broken down. But in this verse that we're looking at, all have fallen short of the glory of God and are justified. What does justified mean? Well, split it up. Just as if I'd never sinned. Justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. You see, Jesus says, if you ask me to, I'll take the sin away and it'll be as if you've never sinned, even though we've sinned badly and fallen short of the glory of God. But Jesus says, I'll take it away. If you ask me to come into your life, if you ask me to forgive you, I'll take the sin away. Another word we have here is redemption, through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. Maybe we know a bit more about that. If you put something into a shop, a pawn shop, you want to redeem it back, you have to buy it back. Jesus came that we might be bought back by his blood so that we can once again come back to God in heaven, a holy God. Bought back from sin and its consequences. Of course, we've said that salvation cannot be earned, and that's what it says here. We are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. It's free. Some people can't fathom this, can they? They think, well, if it costs me something, then I would do it. Well, I firmly believe that if everyone was told that it would cost them £2,000, to get to heaven, that they would find it. I honestly believe it. That if everyone was told, if you could get £2,000 before you die into the church offering, then you'll go to heaven. Everybody would do it. But it's free. It's free. You cannot buy it. And you have to come to the Lord Jesus. And you have to say, I'm a sinner. Whether I think it's a big sin or a small sin, I'm a sinner. And you have to bow the knee and say, I am so sorry. And you have to want to repent of it, not go and do it again. You have to say, I will try my hardest not to do it again, and I am so sorry. And then you say, will you take my sin away, Lord Jesus, and give me that free gift of salvation? And he will, if we ask him. But we have to ask. He doesn't force it on us. Ephesians 2 and verse 8, it is by grace that you have been saved through faith in Jesus Christ and what he's done for you. Not by works, lest any man should boast. It is a gift of God. And then we are justified. It's just as if we'd never sinned. As we close, I want to go back to the story we read about the Pharisee. This man who was pretty confident that he was better than anybody else. The one who said, I am not like other men, robbers and evildoers and adulterers. Standing proud. But let's just think about the other one there, the tax collector. He was there and he stood at a distance and he wouldn't even lift his head up. He was so ashamed. It says here, he wouldn't even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and he said, God have mercy on me, a sinner. There's one more verse in that particular part of that chapter, verse 14 of Luke 18, says this. I tell you that this man, the man who wouldn't look up, the man who said, I am a sinner, that this man, rather than the other one who said, I thank you that I'm not other people, the man who was so ashamed went home, and here's the word again, justified before God. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted, and we will one day be in heaven with God. I wonder where we are this morning. I wonder what we think of ourselves. I'm not too bad. I'm not as bad as other people. We're all in this together. No one any different. There is no difference, the sentence says. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We cannot get to heaven on our own. So what are we going to do about it? It's down to us. We can go on and hope for the best, and the best will not be good enough. Or we can come before God and say, I am a sinner. Lord, forgive me for my sin. Take it away. Wash me and I will be cleansed. And make me fit for heaven. I wonder what we're like this morning. Let's not depend on self. Let's depend on our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's realise that we are a sinner like that tax collector did. And say, God, I am a sinner, have mercy on me. And he will take our sin away if we ask him. And then make us fit for heaven. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the good news is, Jesus died to save you from hell, and if you ask him, he will, by his grace and his love. May God help us to think on these things this morning. for his name's sake. Amen. We're going to sing our closing hymn. If you're using any of the books, it's 914. Only by grace can we enter. Only by grace can we stand. Not by our human endeavour, but by the blood of the Lamb. 914 in the books. 914, yeah. Only by grace can we enter, only by grace can we stand, not by our human endeavor, but by the blood of the Lamb. Into your presence you call us, you call us to come. Into your presence you draw us, and now by your grace we come. Now by your grace we come. If you mark our transgression, who would stand? Thanks to your grace we are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Lord, if you mark our transgressions, who would stand? Thanks to your grace we are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Only by grace can we enter, only by grace can we stand. Not by your human endeavor, but by the blood of the Lamb. Into your presence you call us, call us to come. Into your presence you draw us, and now by your grace we come. Now by your grace we come. Lord, we thank you for your wonderful love and grace shown towards us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for going to the cross and dying in our place, that we might, through that perfect sacrifice, have forgiveness for all the sins that we have all committed, that we might be justified, that we might just look, you might look upon us just as if we had never sinned. What an incredible thing this is, Lord. And we pray that this morning we might know what it is to have our sins forgiven and be right before you, so that we one day will know that we will enter heaven and see the glory of God there. So, Lord, help us to examine ourselves and get right before you. And, Lord, guide us now as we have fellowship together and take us through this day. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.